We're back to the Neil Haley Show here on the Caregiver Dave Celebrity Segment. I'm excited to welcome to the program Caregiver Dave and Sandy. Dave, what's going on, man? How are you?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. I see. It's
enjoying the sunshine, you know.
See, it's not that sunny in Pittsburgh. It's always cloudy and blah. But we're here in summer.
Why do you live there?
I don't know. Because it's cheap. Cost of living is very cheap in Pittsburgh, and that's the one plus of it. That you know, you guys in LA and New York, forget about it. You got to be very, very wealthy to live in these areas. But I'm excited about our guest today, because what our guest is trying to do, and he's going to tell us about the book, but I'm going to introduce him more about why I'm excited to interview him, is because he loves marketing and he has a marketing agency. But he says you can market any type of age. It doesn't matter. And he really can market to the boomers as well. So I'm excited to welcome him, Peter Hubble. Peter, what's going on? How are you?
Hey, how are you? TGIF. Awesome.
Yes, exactly. So let's kind of go to your background before we get to the book. But I like the fact that you talk about honing in on specific target areas. The avatar is such an important thing that so many people forget about, and they don't learn when they're marketing their specific product or service to that avatar, and they can't figure it out. That's what keeps you in business all the time, right, Peter?
Yep. So I've spent a career in the advertising business. It's measured in decades at this point. I've worked at all the large global agencies. I ran the General Mills cereal business as a member of the board of directors of Saatchi & Saatchi. Had endless conversations about whether it's better to talk about cereal being crispy or crunchy, important topics like that. But I, with regard to specificity, you know, the technology is fragmenting that industry. And so therefore you've got agencies servicing just about every kind of connectivity. And so I decided that I needed to be a specialist to really have a lot of fun and enjoy myself and experience the reward I was looking for. So 10 years ago, I launched an agency dedicated to the baby boomer market, right? People of age are doing amazing things that they've never done before. They're the ones with all the wealth. They love brands, et cetera. So we had a great run doing that. We're leading the way in expertise in marketing to age. But then I sort of, the whole okay boomer meme really got to me, which is, you know, here I am at the end of a career saying I've got a lot of valuable experience in marketing to share with younger generations. And instead of having intergenerational sharing, there's intergenerational strife. So that's when I decided to launch Apply You, which is a marketing and branding driven approach to helping young job applicants market their way to their first job.
Interesting. Go ahead, Dave, your next question.
Yeah. You know, the problem I see with today is the universities, because they're not really equipping people to get jobs. They're indoctrinating people politically. What do you think about that?
Well, I was talking to a member of a board of director of two different colleges last week, and he said they're very aware of the fact that they're not serving the undergraduates well, not preparing them. And, you know, when it comes time to do something about it, they're still mired in these traditional tactics. They're still, 40 years ago, when I went through the process, it was the same as it is now. They tell you to build experience, right? Go out and do those summer internships, build a resume, put it together, make it look really good, send it to employers who you're interested in working for, hope and wait that you get an interview, hope and wait that you do a good job in the interview. And this, to me, that's just not a winning strategy. So,
especially when you go into the $300,000 debt, because that wasn't always the case.
Yeah, you know what we say is you're still one class short of your first job. So
that was good.
So go ahead, Peter.
So really, that, you know, for me, the other thing I should mention is it's incredibly gratifying at this stage of my career to be in a teaching role, to be working with young Gen Z aspirants who appreciate what we have to offer. These kids are incredibly motivated. And so, you know, after servicing clients for year after year in an industry of advertising where nothing's permanent, it's gratifying to know that we're doing some smart things to help launch these kids on successful future paths.
It's tough. The resume process is tough. And now when I'm hiring people, now myself and Dave, as well as entrepreneurs, we hire people, we see that kids today, they'll apply to 1,000 places. When Dave and I would look for a job back in the day, even when I was a teacher, I apply a ton, but before that for other jobs, I maybe apply 10 places. Now they're applying thousands and thousands of places. And then they don't understand when they put that stamp on of, hey, I'm interested in the interview, they're doing it like they're doing it in social media. Why is that wrong? Because I'm seeing it already from my applicants for a social media management position for my company that they're not getting, they're not reaching the point of understanding how to really customize themselves and really market themselves so that they really apply only to jobs they're very interested in.
Well, think about it, right? We have this thing called the Common Application for College now. So it's the same thing. Crank out that Common app. And what we're telling those kids is you've got to have an uncommon approach to the Common Application, right? There is in the series of essay questions. So again, you've got everybody answering the same essay questions, right? How do you possibly stand out? And so, they do give you an open-ended question. So we say to them, think ahead about the kind of experience you're going to need. Don't just do an internship, right? Create an experience for yourself that's something interesting that gives you something to talk about. So when an interviewer says to you, or whether it's college or the job after college, tell me a little bit about yourself. You can do something more than say, my name's Peter Hubble and I'm interested in a position at your company. So let's say you want to go out, create a GoFundMe, and you want to retrace the footsteps of John Muir's trip up the Interior Passage of Alaska, founder of the Sierra Club. What does global warming look like through the lens of his 19th century experience? I don't know, I'm making it up, but do something interesting that sets you apart in a world that's getting increasingly more and more common, to your point, Neil.
What are your thoughts, Dave, on that?
What about the scandals of the college applicants? Does that help or hurt your your job?
No, I think it helps us. We're very sensitized to that. But what we're saying is we're going to give these kids the tools they need, right, to be the very best they can be. We're not creating their personal brand for them. We are giving them the tools to create it for themselves. Because when you have, and it all begins with self-discovery. A lot of these kids are saying, oh my God, I took your surveys. I learned things about myself that I never knew. So we're really helping them realize who they are and putting the self and self potential.
So this is so interesting for me, this topic. And I mean, I like I said, I'd like to have Peter on just to talk marketing, or we'll just have to bring him on Clubhouse, come on stage and be an expert on stage with me. And that'd be awesome, because I would just want to take notes, because someone as knowledgeable as you, you understand it, that they don't understand the elevator pitch. I mean, anyone, even entrepreneurs, tell me 2 minutes about who you are, what you do, and why should we hire you? Well, that's the same thing if you're an entrepreneur versus if you're looking for a job interview. The problem, I think, is that everyone looks at there's a process to going to college. I want to get good grades. I want to be able to graduate with high honors, but we all look the same, as you brought up. So to differentiate yourself, you can find these people with unbelievable resumes. You put them in front of people and they don't show themselves. Here's an example. I interviewed somebody we're probably going to hire, but she is a social media influencer. But she didn't mention it on her resume. You're applying for a social media manager position and you don't say you're already a social media influencer. So that would differentiate you in the bowl. She shows up, very plain. Then you go onto her Instagram and see a totally different person. I would say you got to live your brand. If you're going to put on your resume and you're a social media influencer, put that in your resume. Why hire me? Because I'm going to help you increase X, Y, and Z because of what I've done X, Y, and Z. Do you agree with me on that?
Don't get me started, Neil. I was talking to two friends. One is a Duke alumnus. The other is a Harvard alumnus. They both interview in their state for the college application process. They said, I've been doing this for 15 years. I've been asking the same question of all these applicants. Simple question. Right? These are Harvard and Duke aspirants. Tell me a little bit about yourself. They both said they've never gotten an elevator speech by asking that question. Now, to me, that question's coming. It's the biggest softball in the world, right? Why wouldn't you be working on that elevator speech? I think some people often say to me, okay, these are talented kids. To your point, Neil, great experience and everything. What's getting in the way? I think what gets in the way is this mentality that the interviewer is holding all of the cards. This is a serious opportunity for me. They're asking questions that I can't predict. I have to do my best to answer them. I need to be serious and respectful. And anything that I might do to maybe break the mold and try to say something about myself or pitch myself, that they might not like that. And the reality is, think of these interviewers. That's all they do day in, day out. They see the same types of people. They ask the same questions. They hear the same answers. They are dying for the person who comes in and stands out by actually standing for something.
Individuality.
I'll bring up club. I'll bring up Clubhouse, Dave, and then I'm going to let you have your next question. Clubhouse. My bio is unlike anybody else's. I want to put the laundry list of things I do, but I don't want to do it like everybody else. And I get kind of ostracized for that. Everyone wants to be the same on Clubhouse, where we have all these accomplishments, all these different things. Ultimately, you look at the end, they don't have any accomplishments. They're just writing it down that they have accomplishments. There's nothing that differentiates them saying, okay, I want to hire that person. Oh, I'm a digital marketing expert. I'm social media. I can make you X, Y, and Z. I can do this and that and the other. And you're looking at their bio and you're saying, what stands out? What matters? What's interesting? I was told when I need to improve my bio that you're bragging too much in your bio. I'm like, what? Are you kidding me? And this goes back to the mentality that everyone needs to be the same. And that's crazy, because as when Dave and I are sifting through resumes, or if you're looking to hire the right person that's more talented than for a position that you want to hire somebody way better than you are. So you don't have to manage them. You don't have to train them. They just go, especially if you're looking for a top level person. If we're seeing this strategy and not following Peter's strategy, we're in trouble. Dave, do you agree with me?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I wanted to ask if Gen Zers are actually smarter, have higher IQ than baby boomers when they were that age, or are they just more familiar with technology and that makes them seem smarter?
Oh, that could be treading in some dangerous waters here. There's a reason the OK boomer.
And if they're smarter, why are they smarter?
Yeah, I don't know that I'm going to touch that one with the 10-foot pole. But I think that I said that you know, these kids are driven. They're smart. They've been exposed to so many things that we didn't have the opportunity to be exposed to by way of technology. I think the one thing, though, that we do see over and over again is the way in which they have grown up communicating is very different than the way we grew up communicating, right? We you know, if we've got something to talk to somebody about, we walk down the hall and knock on their door and walk in and have a conversation. So all of it's like the future, we're all going to be bowling alone, right? You know, it's gotten transactional when you can tap off a text. So we have to help them. The first thing we need to do, as I said, is self-discovery, understand what their you really is, but get them to think of themselves as a personal brand and to stand up loud and proud and exude confidence and do all those things. But again, it's easy to get hunched over and communicate on a keyboard. And the interview is a live situation. And that's why we do all of our training live. We talk about how to speak in body language, things like that.
And so it's interesting, Peter, you talk about that. I remember the days where I was applying for a public school job. I know I wasn't going to get the job because guess what? You had to know someone on the school board. And I would go through the whole process. I ended up teaching Catholic school before becoming an entrepreneur and going through the trials and tribulations of life in other ways. But when I was a teacher and I'd apply for those positions, they'd bring in about 1,000 people into these interviews, right? But they only would weed out based on specific things to even get the interview. Your GPA, specifically, some of your, if you have, you know, you had good grade, your GPA, your SAT scores, and something else. They didn't look at the personal brand of things. And that's the problem a lot of people look at, is they look at the paper versus what differentiates themselves. By doing that, does that, when people are looking through resumes, what do you see from that? Do you see them more likely to get hired? I mean, I know that as a marketer, you understand that works for anything else. You're kind of being a little new in that fact. They teach people on LinkedIn to do it, but not for the young job applicant right out of college. Have the stories you hear, is it really just stand out for when you're going into a place like an Indeed or different things to get to the next interview?
Well, you know, you got a couple things going on here. You've got the fact that there aren't standardized tests anymore, right? Those are starting to go away. So now it's going to become all that much more important that you've got something interesting and unique. And so, you know, I always tell these kids now that internships are out, right? Instead of doing an internship, do something interesting. And then getting them to express that, to your point, a resume, if all your resume is a listing of experience, you've missed an opportunity for that resume to be the first piece of salesmanship that crosses the desk of the person you're looking for. Now, the problem with the job posts like Indeed and so forth is that they're computer generated models. They're scanning those resumes and they're not rewarding a resume that is creative in any way because they're scanning for certain information. But the time is going to come when you are going to meet with a real human being, and that human being is going to look at your resume, and they look at thousands and thousands. So what is it? I say, is there a picture on your resume? What if your resume was a print ad? You want to be in the advertising business? What if your resume was an ad? What would the headline be? What would the picture be? What would the call to action be? And they just look at you like, so that's why we're here. This is something they've never done before. Again, where we started earlier in the conversation, they're not being taught how to do it for $250,000 at college. So, if you show up with an open mind, there's a ton we can do to help make a difference.
Peter, are trade schools still relevant? I know a lot of people in the trades who are very intelligent, have degrees, but they're making triple the money they could be making, if they just tried to get a job and did actually get a job in the field that they were educated in.
Hey, I'm looking at the trades right now saying, I wish I was in them. I spent a lot of time up in Nantucket, and the amount of building going on and the wealth in the trade industry up there is incredible. And you can't get the people you need to get the work done. And now, of course, you can't get the lumber. But I think people talk to me about, what's your next bucket list career going to be? I think that this is a whole other podcast we could talk about, but I think there's been a decline in manual competency in our society. And what makes us as humans stand out versus all the other beings on this earth is our hands. But increasingly, we don't fix things. We don't repair things. It's a service economy. Things are downloaded. When we stop using our hands to do things and stop being manually competent, are we contributing to a potential decline in our supremacy of species? Another podcast, but I think manual competency, blue collar trades, hard work, really, really important stuff.
How do you get involved in that?
You decide that you want to, and instead of this, I'm going to get a job where I'm on the other end of a computer and so forth.
How do you get involved?
I don't know.
It's another book. It's another book for Peter.
Another all that free time I have. Thanks, Neil.
You're welcome. You're welcome. That's what we were here to do, Peter. Now, so I think it's a great idea. I think LinkedIn has really shown what you're teaching is what LinkedIn wants. They want a great headline. They want something that differentiates themselves so people find you on LinkedIn. LinkedIn's not, it's a job marketplace, but it ultimately is the place where the people that are applicants have some success. Do you feel LinkedIn's another part of that strategic way to differentiate themselves? They're pretty active on LinkedIn?
I think it is. I think it's a base that you have to check. I often think of LinkedIn and other free access marketplaces like that is a bit of tragedy of the commons, right? Which is, as long as there's no barrier to entry, then everybody's going to be there. And then we create a clutter that creates a sea of sameness and makes it harder to stand out. So it all comes back to that. How do you stand out? And, LinkedIn is a crowded cocktail party. Doesn't mean you're not going to go to that cocktail party because everybody else is there. But if you're going to stand out, that's going to be a challenge.
All right, Dave, next question.
Well, I was going to talk about caregiving and how caregiving is a dichotomy of what exactly you do, because we're unpaid to do the job. And yet we're one of the most important aspects of the medical community. Are you ready for that question, Neil, or you want to
yes,
go on?
Yes, I am. I'm ready for the question. So basically why Dave's on this show is because he's interesting and has some interesting questions, throws curveballs. But also Dave's a caregiver. Go ahead with your question, Dave.
Yeah, so my wife had a stroke a couple of 25 years ago, and she lost her speech, became paralyzed one side. I'm a gas station owner, so I'm an entrepreneur, been in the business for 45 years. And all of a sudden, bam, I'm a caregiver. What does that mean? That means I've got to take care of my wife. I don't get paid for it. She doesn't have long-term care insurance. And I realized that I made so many mistakes, I wasn't prepared for it. Everyone's going to either become a caregiver or need a caregiver. So now's the time to put that in the back of your mind, you know? And so what do I do? Well, I became Dave the Caregiver's Caregiver. I started a website, a little business, and now I help other caregivers not make the same mistakes I did. I'm trying to monetize it. And so my question to you is, you know, how has caregiving touched your life? And have you considered that one day you may have to take care of somebody and not get paid for it?
Yeah, well, one thing we haven't talked about, because we're talking about my new venture, Apply You, is this 11-year-old agency called Boom Majors, which is, you know, leading experts in marketing to age. So we've gotten into this caregiving conversation, you know, ad nauseum, right? Because the baby boomers are sort of caught in the middle here of,
sandwich.
it's a bit of a sandwich generation. But you know, what bothers me greatly, and I've blogged extensively about this, is as we look at a society that wants to age in place, right? Technology is going to enable that. You know, we see ads now where your Google device allows you to eavesdrop on your mother and see if she's fallen or whatever. So now the way the Gen X can care for their aging parents is to do that remotely with technology. Isn't that wonderful? They're caregiving. No, you're not, because we're taking the human element out. Care is a human administration of a human touch, the emotion of love. And so let's define what care really is. I know what you're doing is the real thing. It's genuine. It's hands-on. Boy, let's not let technology become a surrogate for what people of age want most, which is connectivity, love, association, and relationships.
Amen. Good job. Good answer.
Awesome. Okay. So Peter, where can we check you out, find information on your book and more about you? Where can we go?
Applyyou.com and boomagers.com.
Awesome. And so what was your last thing you would say to job applicants now? Three things they can do right now to apply for a job, especially a job for me.
Good. Yeah. Well, first thing is you need to be a marketer in today's job market, right? You need to stand out by standing for something. And three, you need to realize that it's not just about being better than the other people or having better experience. You need to be different, better.
Okay, awesome. And really great information to definitely think about. And then looking at my kids and saying, you know what, differentiate yourself. There's so many different things. Everyone needs to, we can't be all the same. We have to have some special quality that makes us different so that we can stand out among the rest. So I appreciate you definitely coming by.
Been a pleasure, gentlemen.
All right.
Likewise. Thanks
again, Dave. And thanks, Dave, again, caregiverdave.com. Take care, guys. And we will talk soon. Take care.
Take care.